things I'd love to share with you is a beginning of an article, just the very first paragraph, the first few paragraphs of an article in Chassidut, which I was reading today on the inner meaning of Pesach. And to me, this was so incredible and so fitted in with the pieces of the Zohar that we've read last time. Dina, I don't think you were there, but I did upload stuff onto the internet if you want to look at the old...
Wonderful. Thank you. I will.
Yeah. Okay. So what we learned, what we've learned in the past, and I think it was last time or the time before, I don't remember, was about the four cups of wine, how they are for the four-letter name of God, Yud, He, Vav, He. And that on this night, all the lights come are complete. The great light which God wants to give us in the thought of creation and the light that we give back to God, it is all complete on this night. And this is why we are all commanded to drink the four cups of wine, because it is for the redemption, but it's the presence of the redemption. It's not the redemption that is going to come in the future. It's for the presence of the light of redemption, which is present on that night, on the night of Seder night. Okay? So we don't drink four cups of wine for a future redemption to come. We're drinking the four cups of wine to celebrate the light of redemption, which is present here and now on Leila Seder. Okay? So yes. this great light of God, of the great light which he wants to give us in the Matzvah Tabriya, in the thought of creation, and all the light that we are giving back to him through the mitzvot, it's like we've suddenly made a jump to the end, okay? It's like a fold in time, if you like. And it's suddenly we're there. And that's the greatness of Leila Seder. Okay? And this is what the Netivot Shalom, the great rabbi of Slonim, writes. Of all the festivals, at the head of all the festivals is Pesach. Pesach leads them all. And we need to explain what is the essence of the festival of Pesach. In the words of the poet, of all the festivals, Pesach leads them all. In other words, all the festivals of the year receive their light from the festival of Pesach. Because the body receives light from its head. And the explanation of this issue is the reason why we call this festival by the name of Pesach. Even though in the Torah it's called by the name of the Feast of Matzahs. And the reason is because Pesach is because of the jumping over. Now, lifsoach, to jump over, means to hop over something, okay? It's like you jump over a stage, you miss something out. So if you can sort of imagine the houses of the children of Israel, and you've got a house of an Egyptian in between, okay? So the angel of death jumped over the house of Israel, okay? And it's sort of a jumping over, okay? That's sort of it's a word which doesn't happen in English, okay? It's sort of a hop over something.
Or a skip, because then you're skipping something too.
Yes, well done. That's a brilliant translation. A skip over something. Absolutely. And this is the essence of this miracle. As the holy Ari said, because the actual fact is that the external forces, like the negative forces, had actually got a very strong hold of the children of Israel. And in fact, there was no real possibility in the laws of nature, in the regular way, that there could be redemption. But when the Holy Blessed One wanted to redeem Israel, he redeemed them in the aspect of skipping. Now, in other words, according to the regular way of progress through spiritual stages, first we have to have the essence of faith, and then we reach the first level of connection with God. And then subsequently, we go back again, and then there's we reach the higher level of connection with God. Okay, so for example, Rav Ashlag would teach, that would be first we'd get to giving for the sake of giving, and then at the end we would get to receiving for the sake of giving. Okay, and it always goes according to the order. Okay, but on the night of Pesach, the Holy Blessed One brought down at one moment all this light, Gadlut Aleph, Gadlut Bet, these great lights, until there was no possibility for the external forces, the forces of lack, to gain any hold whatsoever. And in this way, there could be redemption. And this is what is hinted at in the language of the verse from Yechezkel, which is what we say on Leil HaSeder in the Haggadah, in Ezekiel, V'tarbi v'digdili v'tavoi ba'adei adayim, and you will multiply and you will grow and you will come. I don't know what adei adayim means, forever and ever or something. V'tarbi is the first level of gadlut, of greatness. V'tigdili is the second level of great light. And all these great illuminations shone at one moment. And in this way, there could not be any grasp for the external forces which of negative, of the framework of evil at all. Because they only get force when the light is lessened. But in the manifestation of this great light, they have no hold. And this was the miracle of the redemption of Egypt, because only this way was there a possibility to redeem the children of Israel. And this skipping in the service of God is like what is brought in the Midrash on the Song of Songs, in the way that God medaleg al heharim kapetz al hagvaot. He skips over the mountains and jumps over the hills. Okay? And when Moses, our teacher, Olav HaShalom, may his memory be for a blessing, said to Israel, in this month you will be redeemed. And they said to him, how can we be redeemed? The whole of the land of Egypt is polluted with our Avodah Zorah, with our idol worship. We've been just as bad as everybody else here. And it's true, because the attribute of judgment also accused when the angels, you know, remember when the children of Israel were crossing the Red Sea, and then the waters came back on the Egyptians, they said, what's going on here? Those were idol worshippers, and these are idol worshippers. Why are you favoring one lot over the other? In what way are Israel better than the Egyptians? But Moses said to them, it is God who delights, it is his desire to deliver you. And when he desires to deliver you, he does not look at what you've been doing wrong. He's not looking at the idol worshipping. He's just skipping over it. I was like, sitting there reading this, and I thought, my gosh, that's just like a father with a child, isn't it? It's just like a parent. You know, when you've got somebody you love, when you've got a child who you love, you don't, okay, they're naughty, but you jump over it. You look at their good things. You look at their good sides. You don't hold on to the negative. And in this way, with the children of Israel, we are really his children. Okay. And the Rabbi of Slonim carries on and says, and we need, it seems, to say, what does it mean he doesn't look at the idol worshipper, at the idol worship? Sorry, at the idol worship, not the idol worshipper. But the intention, but through this intention, the Holy Blessed One revealed the greatness of his love for Israel because he simply overlooked. He skipped over. And that's what Pesach is about. It's skipping over the negative and receiving the positive. And this is what we find in the first, very first time that the Holy Blessed One sent a message by Moses to Pharaoh. He said to him, thus says the Lord, my son, my firstborn Israel, B'ni B'chori Israel. In other words, even though the children of Israel were sunk as in the lowest possible level, in the 49th level negativity, nevertheless, the Holy Blessed One called them in that state, this is my son, this is my firstborn Israel. Because then there was an awakening from above of the great measure of love. And this great love of God awakened for Israel. As it is written, I have loved you, says the Lord. And this is what is explained. This is how we can explain what is written in the Exodus chapter 19, just before the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, and I have borne you on the wings of eagles. And where is it actually written that God bore them on the wings of eagles? But what does it really mean? It means that the essence of this great manifestation of the light of God, of redemption, is a manifestation of the love of the Holy Blessed One for Israel. When he said, my son, my firstborn Israel, that is bearing us on the wings of eagles. And because of this awakening from above of the love of God for Israel, is awakened also by us, by the children of Israel below, a great love for God. Until we get to the essence of that love is stronger than death, or that I am sick of love, I'm love sick. And that is the great love that awakens on Leil HaSeder. Because of the great love that God shows us in delivering us of this great love of God, it awakens within us also this great love for God. And as we know, love covers all sins. And this is what Moses said to them. Moses said to the children of Israel, since the Holy Blessed One wants to redeem you, he's not looking at your abominations of idol worship, because the awakening of his love has the strength to cover up all sins, even of the most serious. And this is the issue of Pesach, jumping over, skipping over. And this is because in an ordinary way of things, awe of God or reverence of God is the first commandment, and that is prior to the commandment of loving God. And this is what is written in the Zohar, that the first command is the awe of God, Yirat Hashem. I think we've learned that actually, Jodi and Mia, together. If we haven't, we're going to learn it in Kanyan Torah anyhow. So it is said, Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem, the beginning of wisdom is the awe of God or the reverence for God, the fear of being separated from him. And the second commandment is the love of God. And these pieces of the Zohar we're going to learn in Kinyan Torah anyhow. Okay. And the reason is, if we were to begin with the love of God while we're still stuck in our negative attachments to the unclean aspects of life, then we could fall into sort of lusts rather than love of God. And therefore, we need to first purify ourselves with the commandment of having fear of having Yirat Hashem, which is fear of being separated from God or reverence for God, that there is a judge and there is a judgment. And in this way, the measure of Yirah purifies us and cleans us from our negative aspects. And then a person can come to love of God. But the coming out of Egypt was a great awakening of love in the way of jumping over. Like not going through the normal stages, first A, then B, then C. It's just saying, right, that's it, the end, you know? And that's why it is such a mitzvah to be happy on Leil HaSedel. Okay? And to have so much joy and praise. And the most important part of Leil HaSedel, I always think, is the Hallel, is the praises of God that we sing. And to sing them with every single tune you know. Okay?
I pray that you're recording this because it is beyond priceless.
Oh, let me just see.
I'm telling you, what I keep thinking about? You know how they say you have to be really, really wise and skilled to make something complicated simple? Mm. Rabbi Ashlag, and thank God with your help in translating into English, is doing exactly that. A person could listen and try to absorb Pesach teachings 24/7, and they have a tendency to be complicated, and this is so remarkably and beautifully simple.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. I mean, to get to the essence of what is Pesach. And yes, you're right, because with all the rules and regulations surrounding, and people go bonkers over it all. I mean, really, they do. So do I. I mean, let's face it, you know, I'm part of Am Yisrael and I go bonkers as well. We forget the main issues. But this is it. It's the night of redemption.
And this is it. Of love. This is it.
Yeah, it's the night of love. It's the night when God loves us and we love God.
And I was also going to say, trust me, I barely know enough to say this, but isn't that the whole point of the counting of the Omer following up then, because it was skipped over, essentially?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Mia, by the way. That's absolutely 1,000% right. Because it was skipped over and we don't actually have built those vessels. We haven't actually built those vessels. Now we're given a chance. It's like saying to somebody, okay, now you've seen the vision, now you can build it yourself.
Mm.
Because you know what? It's very important, and you see this again and again in Yahadut. It's very important to give people the vision of what they're aiming for, then they can go and do it.
Mm.
Okay? Like, for example, we've been learning not long ago the whole story of the Mishkan. First, in Vayakhel, Truma and Tetzaveh, you get the vision of what needs to be done. Then you get what actually happens in practice, how people went and did it.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really, really helpful. I think about when I tried to learn folk dancing, and you know, teachers who would teach it step by step, break it all down, I found it incredibly boring. I had no kind of inspiration to really want to learn the whole thing. But if they first put on the music and did the dance once, you see the whole dance, then you're really motivated. So it really does help to see the big picture, to get the inspiration first.
I think one of the things that struck me so much when I started learning the introduction for the Talmud Esther Sviot, which is what we're learning in Kinyan Torah, was exactly that Rav Ashlag actually begins with the vision. He says, what do we get if we reach the essence of Torah Lishma? And we get to this great saying of Rabbi Meir, which he opens Kinyan Torah, that you're beloved, you love God, other people love you, you're their friends, you've got Tushiya, you've got... I mean, it goes through this whole beautiful vision. And then you know what you're aiming for. And again, if you look at Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz. Now, the whole of the first volume of the Zohar is on that one sentence. And the whole of the first volume of the Zohar is pretty well about the end of is about the Gemara Tikkun. In other words, the Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz is not only the beginning, it's also the finish. It's the final creation. It is this. Like Yihi Or, Vayihi Or. Yihi Or is let there be light. Vayihi Or is it's finished. The world is full of light. So you're given the vision. Okay, and then the whole thing unfolds with the stories of how Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, how they're bringing it through. And again, you go from the perfect to the imperfect because you need the vision. We need the vision to know where we're aiming for. And Leila Seder is like being given that vision, being given the light of God as a free gift, as a free vision. Okay, so you have the Yud Hei Vav Hei in the four cups of wine. We also have Yud Hei Vav Hei in the arrangement of the Seder plate and the matzahs. The three matzahs are Chochma, Bina, and Da'at. The cover on the matzah is Ketel, and the Seder plate itself is the last seven Sefirot, which is the Ke'ara itself is the Malchut, and then you've got Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yisod. Is the arrangement of the things on the Seder plate. So you've got a Chesed is the a shank bone, and Gevura is the egg, and the lettuce, the Morar is the bitter herbs is the Tiferet. Then you've got Netzach would be the Charosis, and the parsley. Is it parsley on the left? I think so. Is the Hod, and you've got the and you've got the chazeret, is the chopped up bitter herbs, is yisod. And so you've got, and the ke'ara itself, as I said, is malchut. So again, you've got 10 svirot literally in front of you. And 10 svirot is yud hei vav hei. So there we have a completion in front of us on Leil HaSeder. Totally complete, because this is the night of redemption, and that's the joy of Leil HaSeder. So we got up to therefore the coming out of Egypt was an awakening from above, and through the jumping over of the fact of where we all are actually in actuality, because love covers all iniquities, and it's through the measure of love. Now, as regarding the attribute of Yirat Hashem, it's written in the holy books on the verse, and now Israel, what is it that God asks of you except to have awe of him? It's because a Jew needs to begin with this from his own level. But that's when there isn't God sort of like pouring this down from above, because we've all got to do our work. Because God himself doesn't need to have the aspect of Yirah. But the redemption out of Egypt was not in the regular order of Yirah, which is prior to that of Ahava, which is love. But it is an aspect of skipping over. And God awakens with a measure of love. And over all transgressions, love covers over. And this is why Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, is so connected with Leila Seder. I didn't have this tradition in my parents' home, but since I first understood a little bit about the inner meaning of Leila Seder, we always finish the Leila Seder with reading the Song of Songs. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing to do that. I know in the Sephardi tradition, they read the Song of Songs every Shabbat, before Kabbalat Shabbat. They start off in the Beit Knesset reading Shir HaShirim, because Shabbos is also a time of redemption. It's like Olam. It's got Me'ein Olam Haba. It's also got this issue of like suddenly we get to an aspect of redemption. And so the Song of Songs, which is the highest expression of love, is what Rabbi Akiva called the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies, is very much a part of Pesach. And in the Ashkenazi tradition, we read it in the synagogue on Shabbat Chol HaMoed. In the Sephardi tradition, they read it on the night of the seventh day of Pesach, but we also finish the Haggadah by reading or singing, preferably, the Song of Songs. And it's just amazing. It's just made so, just for me, it's just really, really, really enhanced my Seder so much. This whole idea of joy and just love and thanks. And basically love, that the Seder is about love, God loving us and us loving God. And nobody looking to see what we did or we didn't do. Nobody looking to see about, you know, the quality of this or how we did or whether we measured this or whether we did that or whatever. No, absolutely not. When we come to Leila Seder, we let it all go and we're here in the presence of love. Okay.
Wow, that's very beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
It's very, 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 very beautiful. Now, there's one other thing I wanted to share with you. And this is a poem that a friend of mine, another chavruta, sent me. And it's a poem, let me just find it, which was written by a fellow called Amnon Reback, and it...
Yes, everyone has Egypt. I know, I read it in Hebrew and in English. It's beautiful. Yes, he's someone who works with my neighbor. He's an engineer.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, he's not usually, doesn't usually write poetry. He's... But he wrote it in a workshop just, I don't know, about a year or so ago. And it got really like wildfire. It went, you know, all over the world. It's a beautiful poem.
A friend of mine sent it, a chavruta sent it to me yesterday. Mm. And I haven't formally translated it into English. Do you have a proper translation?
Oh, you can find it. I can send it to you. Yes, I got it in English. There's a very good translation, and I'll try and send it to you. Yes.
Oh, all right, because...
L'chol echad yesh mitzrayim, something like that, right?
Yes, yes.
I'll look it up.
Don't worry, I'll just translate it here and now for everybody.
Right, okay.
Because in the Haggadah, another aspect of the Haggadah is really to see ourselves as if we're coming out of Egypt. In other words, again, the night of Leila Seder is not something for the future. It's not when we're not enacting something which hasn't happened yet. We need to really feel as if it's present now. So everybody needs to feel as if they themselves are being redeemed. That all of us need to feel as if we ourselves are being redeemed. And this is the poem. It's just an amazing poem. Every man or every person needs to feel as if he has some Egypt. And he needs to feel the Moses within himself in that Egypt, either with a strong hand or by gritting his teeth.
I have it here if you want me to read it. I have it here in translation.
Perfect, yeah. Can you read the translation then?
Yes, if you could look it up very easily. I just did. It says, every person needs to have a certain Egypt.
Okay, great.
Okay, it's by Amnon Rybak. Every person needs to have a certain Egypt to deliver themselves from it with a strong arm or with grinding teeth. Every person needs terror and great darkness and comfort and promise and redemption, that they would know how to look up at the sky. Every person needs one prayer that would always be on their lips. A person needs to bend one time. Every person needs a shoulder. Every person needs to have a certain Egypt to redeem themselves from it, from the house of slavery, to go out in the middle of the night to the desert of fears, to march straight into the waters, to see them open before them to both sides. Every person needs a shoulder on which to carry the bones of Joseph. Every person needs to straighten their backs. Every person needs to have a certain Egypt and a Jerusalem and one long journey that they will forever remember in their feet.
Amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah, I can send it to you. I'll just send it to you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. It is really, really, really special poem. Yeah.
It certainly is. How are you sending it? On email?
Yes, yes.
Okay, great. And then I'll send it on to Mia and Jody as well.
Wonderful.
I was like, wow, that's really, really, really speaks to me about the need to be present myself as I am going out of Egypt.
Mm.
Now, we've got 10 minutes left. So, anybody want to say anything? Comment, talk. Well then, all right. I've been.
I have something to say, Yedida. This is Mia. The topic really, the concept is newness, freshness. And for people for whom Pesach has become dry, old, dry, habitual, pick a word, and people for whom it is fresh and new, and fresh and new yet again, and fresh and new yet again. Some of us approach life as though I wasn't the same person who participated in a Seder last year, and I won't be the same person participating in a Seder next year, and therefore it is always fresh and new.
That's a beautiful point, Mia. In fact, Rabbi Ashlag actually writes that in connection with all the festivals of the because the word shana, okay, that the year, okay, on the one hand it's like the beginning of, again, we begin the tikkun of the malchut each time. All right, looks like we're going around again, the same parshat shavua, the same festivals, whatever. But in fact, what we're actually doing is doing an aspect of tikkun which has never been done before. Okay? So, because what happens is that as we learn in Rabbi Ashlag, everything is a parallel. It exists in parallel. In other words, any tikkun that we manage to do is never lost. Okay, we might not remember it, but up there it's never lost. It never goes to waste. And as we come around again, we add on, we do another aspect of tikkun that we've never done before. Okay, so it's each time it is actually totally new. Every time we say Shema, it's totally new Shema. Every time we say Amidah, it's totally new Amidah. Every time we do anything in spirituality, in fact, it's totally new. And of course, with Leila Seder, it's always new. I mean, because it's never the same year to year. And I think this is one of the things that I think I really woke up to in a more concrete way was when I came on Aliyah. Because in Chutz La'aretz, of course, you've got two nights of Leila Seder. And then it does feel like you're sort of like doing, you know, action replay. But having just one night Leila Seder made it much more clear. This is the night. That's it. This is the night.
And yeah, it's not a rehearsal, kind of. Not a rehearsal. It's the real thing, the real play.
Yeah, it's the real thing. Like you have, this is the night. And I very much felt the power of Leila Seder actually increase by having one night rather than having two nights. Because it's this night. I remember enjoying two nights of Leila Seder when I was a kid in Chutz La'aretz, but actually I felt the power and the force of it was actually enhanced by just having the one night. So this was what you're saying is absolutely true, Mia. It's totally new each time. Because we're not the same person. And that's, yeah, it's exactly that. What you
and
said.
That's the ownership. You know, when we have ownership of the newness and we see it as our responsibility, but not a heavy burden, a privilege.
It's a privilege, yeah.
Gift. And no one has ever made that as clear to me as Rabbi Ashlag is making it clear to me. I don't know, maybe I'm just finally ready, but that's what's so stunning about this.
I think it's, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think about it like this, is that the light of redemption comes into the world on Leila Seder. It comes into the world on the night of the 14th of Nisan, okay? And there it is, pouring into the world. Now, if a person, let's say, person just doesn't know anything about Leila Seder and he just doesn't do anything and he goes to, you know, just has dinner in front of the TV or something, he has the light of redemption in a sense because it's for everybody. But he can't actually feel it because he's not made any vessels for it. But the people of Israel, by making these vessels for Leila Seder, by arranging the table, by having the four cups of wine, by arranging the Seder plate, okay, by gathering together in families and inviting friends, in whatever format we do it, okay, sitting down together, and all the Jewish people all over the world sit down together on Leila Seder. Apparently, it's an extraordinary figures. Something like 98% of the Jewish people all sit down on Leila Seder, one way or another. I mean, most amazing. Something really incredible. We are creating a vessel for the manifestation of this light, which is the light of redemption, which comes into the world for the whole of humanity. Because we are one soul. The Jewish people have a responsibility to the rest of the soul, but ultimately, as Rav Ashlag teaches, we are all one soul. We are all the soul of Adam. The whole of humanity is one soul. So therefore, we've got a great privilege, as you said, to create the vessels to manifest this light. The light comes in anyhow, but you need to make it visible. We need to make it visible. We need to make it out there, okay? And that's what we do with Leila Sedel. And and the light of redemption is the light of love. And I think that's what this article brings out in the most incredibly beautiful way. It's the light of love. And that's why Pesach is called Pesach, because God skips over our wrongdoing. He just doesn't notice it and gives us all his love. And so we, on Leila Sedel, give him back love. And we tell the story of how he took us out of Egypt. And it says in the Zohar how all the angels and all the heavenly court just come and listen to the story. As we're telling the story, all the angels above come and listen to the story as well. And they're so happy because we're telling the story of how God loves us and how God took us out of Egypt and is still taking us out of Egypt, of our own personal Egypt. And will bring the whole of the world to its final redemption. One of the beautiful ways that Rav Ashlag brings this is that he says in the beginning of his commentary on the Haggadah, he says the actual matzah that they ate in Egypt, they ate matzah in Egypt because the command for matzah was at the original commands for Pesach and for matzah was actually given before they'd left Egypt. It was about a month before, the beginning of the month. Okay, so they actually had matzah in Egypt, but they ate it for the redemption to come. And again, we eat the matzah for our own present redemption on Leila Sedel and for the world's final redemption, for the redemption to come. May it come this year. May we be privileged that we'll be the generation of redemption.
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much.
Wonderful. It was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful being together. Terrific.
Thank you. We should all have a happy and healthy Pesach.
Absolutely. Jodi, just before you go,
thank you. Me,
how's your dad doing?
He's okay. Not great. I'll tell you.